KPBS On Demand is supported by Walter Anderson Nursery, family-owned and operated since 1928, providing San Diego with gardening expertise and independent service for four generations. For more information, visit walteranderson.com.
Good morning, I'm Andrew Dyer, in for Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Thursday, June 11th. San Diego City Council saves arts and culture funding, but keeps its flock cameras. More on that next. But first, the headlines. U.S. Central Command says it disabled another oil tanker in violation of its blockade of Iran. The strike late Tuesday was the second such strike in as many days. Pentagon says the ship was attempting to transport oil from Iran. It was struck in its engine room. This after an empty ship was struck Monday attempting to reach an Iranian port. The strikes come amid renewed hostilities between the U.S. and Iran after the two countries failed to reach a long-promised peace deal. At least four San Diego-based warships are involved in Iran operations, including the aircraft carrier USS Abraham Lincoln and three destroyers. A new bill provides $70 billion for immigration enforcement through the end of Donald Trump's second term. The president signed the bill yesterday. It includes $38 billion for ICE and $26 billion for the Border Patrol. The bill passed the House by just two votes earlier in the week. It's been held up since January when immigration agents shot and killed two U.S. citizens during immigration operations in Minneapolis. A new bill would strip disgraced labor leader Cesar Chavez's name from a Barrio Logan post office. San Diego Representative Juan Vargas and California Senator Alex Padilla introduced the legislation in both the House and Senate this week. It would rename the post office for Armando Rodriguez, a San Diego Mexican-American educator and civil rights advocate. He also served in the administration of presidents from both parties in various roles. Rodriguez died in 2019. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego County Toyota Dealers, offering a new 2025 lineup of vehicles at your local Toyota dealer, including a new Tacoma with turbocharged four-cylinder engines and a hybrid powertrain option. The San Diego County Toyota Dealers. We make it easy.
The San Diego City Council approved the city's new budget with a vote late Tuesday night. At the meeting, the use of automated license plate readers became the focus of public comment and the council's discussion. Public Matters reporter Jay Gatta has the details.
The council voted unanimously to approve a budget for the 2027 fiscal year, but at Tuesday night's meeting, automated license plate readers, or ALPRs, were among the most hotly debated issues. Several members of the public shared their support for these cameras, while those opposed expressed concerns about surveillance and data sharing with federal agencies like ICE. Ultimately, the contract with Flock Safety cost just $2 million out of a budget of more than $6 billion, but Councilmember Sean Elo Rivera suggested that money go to covering remaining cuts to arts and culture and parks and libraries.
Do we want to spend scarce resources on a 24/7 AI-powered surveillance? Or do we want to use those dollars to keep parks open, restore library hours, and create opportunities for young people, families, and seniors in our rec centers?
The motion to cancel that contract failed 5-4. The council did approve a motion to restore most arts and culture funding, some library and rec center hours, and the multimodal team of traffic engineers, all public priorities raised throughout this budget process. The budget now goes to the desk of Mayor Todd Gloria. Jake Gatta, KPBS News.
New federal work requirements tied to public benefits are already taking effect for food stamp recipients. Similar changes to Medi-Cal are scheduled for next year. Health reporter Heidi DeMarco says as people try to navigate both systems, advocates report confusion is growing.
San Diego County says between CalFresh and Medi-Cal, about 400,000 people could be affected by the new federal work requirements. CalFresh work requirements went into effect June 1st, but many people still qualify for exemptions. Josue Castro oversees the CalFresh program at the San Diego Food Bank.
So our team has been very focused on connecting with the community, letting them know what the requirements are, and then how we can help find exemptions.
Work requirements for Medi-Cal are not scheduled to take effect until January 1st, 2027. Linda Wei is a policy director for the Western Center on Law and Poverty.
It's understandable that there's confusion because this is a brand new requirement.
She says the exemptions aren't exactly the same for CalFresh and Medi-Cal, so qualifying for one program doesn't necessarily mean the same rules apply to the other. San Diego County says residents with questions about eligibility can call 211 for assistance. Heidi DeMarco, KPBS News.
Yesterday, a fire burned more than 500 acres near Camp Pendleton's fence line with Oceanside. It's one of several that have started around the county in recent weeks. Fire Captain Oscar Sotelo of CAL FIRE says dry conditions mean fires are starting earlier than normal this year.
We had very little rain this year down here in Southern California, and we had a little warming spell in March that really brought up the temperatures and contributed to the fuel moistures drying up and curing the fuels.
Sotelo says CAL FIRE has a few new firefighting tools they've already been using, a new Firehawk helicopter and an air tanker stationed at the Ramona Airport. About twice a day, San Diego law enforcement charge someone with resisting an officer and nothing else. It's much more likely to happen to a black person. In part two of this series, reporter Katie Heisen tells what the data shows and what can be done about it.
You want me to tell you why I stopped you, or are you going to keep talking over me?
Why'd y'all stop me?
Keyshawn Shaheed Price was leaving a high school football game in September when San Diego police officers stopped him, allegedly for speeding. Price says that's impossible since they were behind two buses.
But hold on, y'all stopping me, I got my ID and my license, and I got insurance. Okay. But y'all stopping me and putting lights in my kids' faces and all that, y'all need to be doing that.
His 14-year-old son and 15-year-old daughter were in the back seat.
No, it's not. No. I don't feel safe with y'all pulling me over.
The front passenger was filming. He asked them to call his wife. Officers ordered him out of the car.
Bro, I don't have to get out the car! I don't have to get out the car!
They handcuffed him and his kids. He says it was his children's first interaction with police.
I felt like I was being robbed and like my kids was being kidnapped, honestly. Like, it made me feel like it was the worst feeling ever. Like, just like not being able to do nothing, like knowing like everything that they were doing.
They took Price to jail for resisting an officer. His next court date is this month. Price works for a nonprofit that assists people impacted by the local justice system. He says he and his colleagues had already noticed a pattern of standalone resisting charges.
So we was already like, kind of like strategizing around it, like just talking about it. But when it happened to me, it was like, wow.
They requested data from the city attorney. All cases where the only charge was resisting from January 2024 through October 2025. That data show black people are about 9 times likelier than white people to be charged by San Diego law enforcement with resisting and nothing else. SDPD spokesperson Cesar Jimenez said by email that this statistic doesn't tell the whole story. He says every citation for resisting is based on probable cause. The data includes more than 1,300 cases where the only charge is resisting. That's about 2 a day. San Diego City Attorney declined to prosecute about 1,000 of them.
The person's charged, it gets dismissed, a judge never sees it, and then rinse and repeat over and over and over.
Scott Holmes is a civil rights attorney and law professor in Durham, North Carolina.
And no one is keeping up with the magnitude of the problem or quantifying it or presenting it to the public.
Holmes noticed a pattern with his clients and started researching resisting charges.
There was a high correlation between people being stopped without any reasonable suspicion or any grounds, and then arguing or complaining about it, and then ending up with a resisting charge to punish them for arguing about their interaction.
Holmes found in Durham, 90% of people charged with resisting and no other major offense were black. And most of those charges were never prosecuted. To him, That's a red flag.
It really is a signal more that the police have engaged in misconduct than the person's guilty of the crime.
He says many of these cases are unconstitutional.
If the only person only is charged with resisting arrest, the question is, well, arrest for what?
Generally, an officer has to have reasonable suspicion to detain somebody. Heated words aren't enough.
Unless your words are fighting words or you're actually verbally threatening the safety of the officer, you can express your disapproval of how things are going in the most strong terms and be fully protected under the First Amendment.
Spokesperson Cesar Jimenez said, if someone believes their rights have been violated, they can file a complaint. KPBS recently found the city board tasked with police oversight doesn't get to review the vast majority of these complaints. Holmes again.
The purpose of the charge in that moment is to control that person and send a signal to everybody else that this is not the way you deal with the police. You have to obey us. The impact of it is to dissuade other members of the vulnerable community from asserting themselves.
Holmes says using criminal laws to control Black people has been a tactic since slavery ended. He offered a solution. When officers charge resisting without legal grounds, they should be held liable.
It's a crime. And if prosecutors started prosecuting it as crimes, then police would stop it. This is the way criminals are supposed to be deterred by criminal prosecution.
Katie Heisen, KPBS News.
Hazardous beach conditions are expected along the San Diego coast until this afternoon. That means big waves, dangerous swimming conditions, and a high rip current risk. Christian Main has been surfing for 15 years. Wednesday's conditions broke his board in half. Before going out into big surf, Main says it's important to ask yourself,
can I even get out? Like, is there a rip that I know I can get through? Just be honest with yourself and be like, is this past my limit or not?
But the National Weather Service is recommending staying out of the water until conditions are back to normal. The San Diego County Fair opened yesterday. For many San Diegans, it marks the official start of summer. North County reporter Alexander Nguyen was there for all the opening day excitement.
Lisa Cartagena and her family were among the first attendees through the gates at the San Diego County Fair this year. She wanted to get the kids to spend some time outdoors.
I'm just going to watch and walk around, get some exercise, and just let them enjoy the unlimited wristbands and rides and food.
And all the kids could think of were the rides.
We are going on some intense rides today.
I'm looking forward to going on the rides the most.
Cartagena says part of the reason they were going on opening day was the $5 admission special. Fair organizers say they were trying to keep the fun affordable with deals and discounts. For more information on that, visit sdfair.com. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. This podcast is edited by Brooke Roof. Today's show was hosted and produced by me, Andrew Dyer. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Thanks for listening and have a great Thursday.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Rug Expo. For over 30 years, Rug Expo has served San Diego. Family-owned and locally operated, offering a large selection of rugs sourced from around the world, providing cleaning, repair, and appraisal services to care for your investment. Learn more at rugexposd.org.